White Sox Weekly continuing. Mark Harmon, Harry Tynowitz on a beautiful Sunday. Hope you're having a great day as we check in with the Charlotte Knights and their outstanding pitching coach, Steve McCaddy, who's taking some time out of his busy schedule to join us. Steve, everybody wants to know about Michael Kopech, and they want your thoughts as well. So what do you see in this guy who's making his second start today or made his second start today? How high is up for a guy who can throw the ball through the wall, and he's got some pretty wicked breaking action, too, on his slider and the curveball?
Yeah, it's interesting. I love the way Michael throws the ball. Obviously, he's a thoroughbred. He's got a tremendous amount of talent. Off speed is getting better. He's got a good slider, really good slider, really good curveball. The changeup he's throwing, and it's going to be effective for him. What's he going to end up doing? Gee, I really don't know. I think he could be really, really good. I always tell somebody I don't like it when everybody says, well, this guy throws hard, so he should be really good. It kind of got stuck on that with a little bit with Strasburg over the Nationals. And like I told Michael, you can't live up to everybody else's expectations. Just be as good as you can be, and I think that'll be plenty good. Can you say somebody's a 20-game winner? Boy, you don't know. Only time will tell. He has all the ability to win a lot of games, but they're, you know, winning 20 or being the leading the league in strikeouts, you just don't know what's going to happen until they get some sort of track record there. But he's got tremendous stuff, and obviously he's in great shape, and he maintains his velocity the whole time. So I think he's got a chance to be real good.
Steve, what changed on paper for him is the number of walks. How did you guys work to control his base on balls percentage and bring it down?
Well, one of the things, and that's one of the things everybody talks about. There's everybody in Chicago is looking at this guy throws 100 miles an hour. Well, as I told him like six outings ago, I said, Michael, I like the fact that you're throwing 101, but I don't like it in the first inning. You know, you got to learn how to throw strikes and maintain the mechanics and keep your body under control that allows you to repeat pitches over, over, and over. So the thing that we worked on and was worked on was controlling his body, staying back, not overthrowing, and not that it's a sacrifice because it'll be a plus in the end. You don't sit there and pitch at 100% of what you can throw. You got to learn to dial it back a little bit. And, you know, out of the starts, all of a sudden he's going to have some of those games where you're pitching at 100%, and then some you're going to be pitching at 95%. And then when you have your bad ones, you're going to try to dial back a little bit more and figure out how to get through it. Those, you know, you're going to have some bad games, but you got to learn how to pitch. And I heard Smoltz talking about it, but it's a way we were taught years ago. And Smoltz said last year, I think it was on MLB, and watched it. It was a great analogy. He said, you know, I watch guys, and they're all, when they're pitching, they're all, you know, they're pitching in sixth gear, and they're trying to throw 100 miles an hour the whole game. You got to learn how to pitch in fourth gear. And then when you need to increase it, when the time comes, when there's runners on base in that situation, where they're about, you know, where they can score or whatever, then you can turn it up a little bit. But if you're going full blast, where do you turn it up to? So you got to learn how to turn it down a little bit first, control yourself, control your body, and allow yourself to throw strikes. And that's what we kind of did with Michael. And it was like he was doing it. And then all of a sudden we changed his grip on his changeup to get that going. And, you know, the comfort level with everything else was real good, and he just fell into it. And the tempo and how he goes about driving to the plate now is really, really good. That, to me, that was the big thing that I noticed when he was able to do that a couple games in a row, that you could obviously see that was a key for him, was not getting out too quick and really cranking on the ball and overthrowing.
Steve McCaddy, White Sox pitching coach, or the Charlotte Knights pitching coach, of course, with the Sox AAA affiliate with us here on White Sox Weekly. Steve, well, you know, you mentioned Steven Strasburg, and we're talking Kopech, and I read a quote that Gio Gonzalez had on you: the best thing you did when you were the pitching coach with the Nationals, that you didn't try to change him. But with a young player like Kopech, you just mentioned we messed with his grip. So how do you, on the curveball, so how do you balance letting a guy be versus changes that you think they've got to make? And I'm curious along that lines, like, how was Kopech as far as taking in and listening to you? Or, you know, a guy is super talented like that, I would think sometimes it's a challenge to, you know, get somebody to change what they're doing.
Well, it is. And what I think Gio was talking about, you got to learn at this in this game what you do as a pitcher. What type of pitcher am I? Am I the guy that's going to be one inning out of the bullpen guy and I'm just going to grab it, throw it as hard as I can? Or do I have the ability to go out there and sustain this over a period of time and be a starting pitcher? And when we talked about that, you just got to learn how to control your body. So part of my job as a pitching coach, and when you say that with Gio, and I think what Gio was talking about, is I got to learn what pushes or buttons to push with you to get you to do the things that I think you should do. So with Gio, it wasn't about, you know, when he said he lets you pitch, he doesn't change anything. With Gio, his stuff was really good. But the thing with Gio, it was getting his attention on pitching. Gio was like a butterfly where if somebody said hello to him, he had to stop and talk to him, and he got distracted easily. So the one thing that we did that they did with Oakland, but we did, made him feel comfortable. We let him out, go out before the game, and he wears headphones and his music until he started to throw so he could get his concentration. So we let you got to learn what makes that guy tick, and then just stay and say, no, you're going to do this. I got to kind of manage pitchers and try to find a way to get the best out of them. Mechanics are really kind of the easy part because we all basically know the mechanics of what you should do and shouldn't do and what's wrong and what works for you and what doesn't. But also we got to work to be this like psychologist kind of guy, to be there for you, to talk with you, make things their ideas, because everything that you make is somebody else's idea. It's always going to work a lot better for them than you say, hey, you got to do this. So, and that's kind of how I handled Gio. So you had to handle Strafe different. Everybody else, you try to find what works for him or for them. And then with Michael, when we talked about it, he's a great kid and he wants to learn. So it's fun kind of having that ability to kind of get him to understand how this works as far as pitching, and then see the results from what we're talking about, and then letting him just kind of apply it and learn, say, okay, I know what I'm doing here.
You know,
and so it wasn't really too hard. It was just, sometimes if you're just going to tell somebody something once and then you don't do it anymore, well, shame on you. So it was conversations that we had more than once, but you just got to keep doing it.
Steve, you bring up what kind of kid he is. We would be remiss if we did not mention that, you know, his buzz of, man, this is so great, four strikeouts in two innings. His buzz didn't last very long before these tweets came back from years ago when he was in high school. And he apologized. He said he's not that kind of a kid. He becomes the fourth major league ball player since the All-Star game to have these tweets come out. Can you just talk about what kind of individual he is, put to rest for White Sox fans worried about what kind of kid this might be?
I'll tell you what I know of Michael, and I'm not making any comment for what any kid said, and I don't know what he said. I don't know what went out. Michael, just for me and the experience I've had with him, is a great kid. He loves everybody. He's easy to talk to. He's great with the kids and the And this is what I've seen. Again, no comment on anything else he's done. When he comes out, every day he'll come out to the bullpen when he's not pitching. He'll walk out. He signs autographs. He's nice to everybody. I've never seen anything that he hasn't been but pleasant to everybody that's at the ballpark or wants the Michael Kopech signature. He's got a great sense of humor. You know, I would always bust his chops all the time just about, you know, anything. And he would laugh and we've had our serious talks where, you know, he starts to get a little bit upset. And most people know me that I'm not that easy to get me to go away just because you get mad. So we've had our moments where we've had good discussions, but he's a great kid. The other stuff I won't make any sort of comment on because it's just too, it's just not my place to do because I don't know where it was and it hopefully he's handled all that.
We are talking with White Sox AAA pitching coach for the Charlotte Knights, Steve McCaddy, here on 720 WGN. All right, let's move off Kopech for a second here. Carson Fulmer, Steve, he's making the adjustment to being in the bullpen. I've seen some good as far as the numbers go and some not so good. Where's he at?
He threw last night. He threw the ball great. He really threw the ball well last night. Making that transition over, sometimes you hope that when a starter would go to the bullpen, you're going to say, well, you know, sometimes the velocity will pick up, and it's just they can go out there and just, here I come, for whether it's one or two innings, and feel comfortable, taking a little bit of the pressure out there every time you go out to start. And so I can't say that that's going to be a spot that he'll end up in the big leagues as a bullpen guy. I still think that if he can get the things down that we're trying to do, that he could be a starter. He's still 24 years old. He's got great stuff, but it's just getting himself in a situation where he's able to repeat it, throw strikes, and if not the right word is under control, but being able to repeat the mechanics with the way he's comfortable going. He's an up-paced kind of kid. And I know starting, we tried to slow him down and take your time, but some trying to say, okay, let's take the pressure off and put him down here. And he's throwing the ball well. I mean, there's a couple times where everybody goes out there, a little of adjustment, they'll get banged around a bit. But last night, he was outstanding.
Did you see the big year coming for Carlos Rodon? I mean, he was down there a little bit at the, you know, getting himself ready to come up, and then it's just been an incredible year for him so far.
When he was here, and I told him exactly what I thought, because the year before he was here also, and after his first time out, I told him, I said, right now, from what I'm seeing, there's no comparison to where he is right now to what he was last year. Wow. But his velocity's there. He's able to reach back. His velocity was up to 96 or 97 at times, and he's got that slider. And also, the thing that he was doing, his command was good, and he's got a really good changeup. He was relaxed, having no problems. Threw the ball great. I mean, he was really impressive to watch, because having not been seeing him throw too many times on TV or anywhere before, basically the first chance I had to watch him was here in games last year. And the difference from last year to where he is now was it's obvious that he was feeling a lot better this year, and probably in some discomfort last year, but he did a lot better this year. So I'm not surprised at what he's doing, because he's got a great attitude, you know, and it's always easy to have a great attitude when you got great stuff, and he feels good, and he's doing the ball really well.
Hey, let me ask you about another guy that's helping you take care of these pitchers, and that is your catcher, Sebby Zavala. What do you see from him that you like?
Sebby's working hard. You know, he's a strong kid. I know he can hit. Got an ambulance going by here, right? Sirens or something.
As long as it's not for Sebby, you, Steve.
Yeah, well, you never know. I fell down. I'm looking over here, and I got the body taped on the ground last night. We had a play, and I leaned back in my chair, one of those cheap plastic chairs, and I pushed back against it, and it snapped, and I went down on the ground, so they got my body down in a tape outlined on the floor of the dugout.
But I hate plastic chairs.
Oh, I know. But Sebby's doing a nice job. Learning at this level, you know, he's taking into what we're trying to tell him and talking about certain things and situations, and this level is different than AA, so there's some things on working guys that at the higher levels that you got to learn, and he's doing that. He's called the game calling has gotten a lot better. Not that it was bad, but a lot better as he's going. He's learning more, so he's a talented kid.
Hey, before you go here, Steve, you know, when you pitched, you were so old school. What'd you have, a 14-inning game in 1981?
Yeah.
You know, so you were just take the ball, I don't care, there's pain in my arm, I got to be a good teammate, that type of guy. And nowadays, like, oh, we got a great outing from our starting pitcher. He went six innings. So,
quality start.
Look, I tell everybody, you know, and a lot of guys, when they talk about when I played, and before that, it's like the dark ages. And it really wasn't, but you were trained to go nine innings. That's what you were supposed to do. And, you know, I kind of laugh when everybody says, oh, you got like 50 complete games in the big leagues. And I'm when they're doing that, I'm saying, oh, my God, I hope Ferguson Jenkins is not sitting in here. Or I had like 300 of them. And but the game has changed. If the defense is, you know, the late innings is kind of like the nickel package in football. Okay, now we're going to throw these guys in at the late of the game, later part of the game. The numbers do show you in a lot of situations, yes, the third time through is awfully hard for a starter. But, yeah, again, we were taught differently how to pitch. We weren't always just take it and throw it as hard as you can. And then when you run out of gas, we'll get another guy. So, yeah, the game's evolved like that. And I'm not saying that it's worse or what. You know, I still haven't been a pitching coach in the big leagues. I still believe the starter's got to give you at least six or get you into the seventh inning. I really believe that. Going five innings, you know, I'm not going to, you know, hey, I'll take you. Give me five innings and no runs. Okay, that's really good. But, you know, I still, here, you should go as far as you can go. There's nothing wrong throwing 115 to 120 pitches a game. I don't believe that. Now, that game you're talking about, I guess I threw 203 that day. Well, we don't want to do that. But I would average anywhere between 130 to maybe 140 in nine innings. And, you know, that's kind of up there a little bit. Some guys, Rick Langford, would do it in less pitches. And obviously the key is when you learn how to pitch that if you can do nine innings in 110 pitches, that's going to be around you throwing strikes and being able to locate the ball. And that's the way the game was. Now we got guys that come in for an inning, and then you got your guys at the back end of the game, and they come in and they're throwing the ball 98 to 100 miles an hour, and it's wipeout, swing and miss stuff. So I understand how it's evolved like that. I still think in order for you to have a good, successful year, your starting pitchers have got to give you innings. It doesn't have to be a complete game, but generally, get me through six. Get me through six. We can work it through. I'd like you to get through seven, you know, but, you know, sometimes we guard guys and we look at them and say, okay, he's at 100 pitches. And some organizations would say you're within 10 of your pitch limit. You're not going out for the next inning, and that would generally be about five innings. So a lot of times you'd find yourself, you call somebody up to the big leagues, and he'd be at the fifth inning and 90 pitches, and he's like, oh, well, my day's done. And that's not a good way to go in the big leagues. You got to try to get through that sixth into the seventh.
Yeah,
if you put the bar out there for him and say, here, this is what we expect. We expect you to throw pitches. If that's what they know, that they can go 110 pitches, 115, and they're not just looking at 95 and say, man, I've thrown a lot of pitches and I'm done. I think that would be more of a point to focus on as far as getting guys to the big leagues. But I also understand the younger guys trying to get them to do that all the time. You know, you got to build up to it.
And to Mark's point, there are five guys tied for the lead in complete games right now in the bigs, and they're all tied with two complete games. Just last week of August, it's insane.
That's the way. The world, these guys tell me all the time, Cat, the world is changing. You got to change with the times. And as I say, no, I don't.
Right. Hydrate tracks, Cat.
What's your Twitter, Cat?
I don't know. Look.
What's your Insta?
I don't go on that. No, I don't go on that. I don't know how to do Facebook. I learned how to do emails. My life is enough of everybody. I have enough pages and things to be on there that people can find anything else about me that they want that I'm not adding to it. So there's no hash mark. I don't know what a hash mark is. I don't know what a Facebook board is. I got no clue about that. I could send you a text. I'm that good. But hey, no, You're not gonna see me up there on that
cheeseburger, medium rare.
I like mine. Yeah, but my wife makes me have it well done in case we get some bad meat.
Good job.
Thanks a ton, Cat. We appreciate the time.
Steve, it was awesome.
My pleasure. Good talking to you guys.